Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we got a nice little spread in front of us. We did a video with Dark Lord Marshmallow Hanji.
Yeah.
And then we got some Lulz. Lulz? it's Phase 3's like hard seltzer company or brand.
Right.
And this is their crisp apple hard seltzer.
You know, this was one of the stars of the show at FOBAB. It's kind of funny. We got a barrel-aged beer and we got a fucking seltzer. That's kind of all we did at FOBAB.
Right. We're gonna get into FOBAB and like everything we had there, but this Lulz, the crisp apple one, was kind of my favorite thing I drank that day. I had a lot of it.
You know, I had the pink lemonade and Brad got the apple cider, and he's like, "You got to try the apple cider one; it's better."
Yeah. Well, I got the pink lemonade.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. And I dumped it out. I was like, nah, give me.
Yeah. Pink lemonade wasn't tart like you would want, but the apple cider one was money. Yeah.
This, we're drinking it now. It tastes the same in the can as it was on tap there. It tastes like apple juice. Like there's nothing else here.
It's some funny shit. This is for the moms who drink wine and, you know, they're old
and man. And Brad.
The moms who drink wine and Brad and people who go to the largest barrel-aged beer fest in the country and don't want to drink barrel-aged beer. This is for those three folk.
All right. Not to say I didn't want to drink the beer.
Yeah.
There is a point at FOBAB where you are either, do you ride that 13% roller coaster that it ends badly or it can end badly? Or do you mellow out? You get like for us, we had the VIP pass, so we were able to go back to the brewer's area to get yourself a High Life, kind of mellow it out.
Yeah.
And I found this hard seltzer. I was like, that's what I'm going to roll with, and then I'll pick up some other things throughout the day.
Yeah. And honestly, that was one of the new features this year, too, which I think that's what drove us to it. Because in the past, I want to say I've seen maybe, you've definitely seen Rev doing Oasis, and I've seen Half Acre doing Oasis.
Did Workforce? No, Workforce.
I want to say Fire Rabbit maybe had an Oasis there.
Oh.
Usually the two excursions are, well, there's always a goose, it's like a big goose presence and then another presence.
And that other presence
rotates.
Yeah.
So
this year was Phase 3?
Yeah. On the balcony, on the mezzanine, just above the stage, just right to the left of the stage was a P3 Oasis, where they're doing magnums of fucking cider.
They're hazy stuff.
Hazy IPAs.
Milkshake IPAs.
And they're doing all the barrel aged stuff.
But everyone's kind of in line for, like, the Phase 3 hits. And I'm like, yo. Like, I got up there, because I didn't know what to expect when we first got in the Phase 3. I was like, all right, I'll give hazy a try. I was like, wait. There's some hard seltzer. I got to go for it.
You know?
So this one's pretty nice. I don't know how I'm going to feel like maybe summertime, but right now, like winter, kind of fall, autumn, I don't know. It's got all those like flavors I want.
Yeah. I was talking to Chris Jacobson about, and he was telling me how Neapolitan, this style, he had Neapolitan style from P3, and that's the only P3 he didn't like. It was a little too sweet. And I had the taffy apple ale that they came out with the taffy apple people. That was a collaboration. And I didn't like that. It was a little off for me. But everything else I think I've had from them, when they say it has these flavors, they kind of do a really good job of like getting close to being exactly that.
Okay.
So.
But that was what was happening up in this balcony area, and that's why I had to pick up the lulls for this episode. And it kind of worked out. We also got the Dark Lord, so barrel aged and hard seltzer. But there was way more.
Turned into a real asshole Monday night here, bud.
It's
Monday as we're recording this. So.
But it's a short week.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's a holiday week.
Yeah.
All right.
There was a lot more to FOBAP than just this phase three area.
Yes. New venue. We talked about that. It's in an actual stadium. What else? I was trying to get people to kind of commit to a number. You know, I saw Jana. Shout out to Jana from Haymarket. And I'm like, are you inviting the same number of people as the last joint or what? And she kind of was like, no, we had an opportunity to invite a few more people. But no one really said, like, how many folks were there.
Right. Like, I think it was basically, like, we had the opportunity to invite more people. We ended up being smaller for the safety, but also did less people just buy tickets? Like, did you win in, like, the, I don't know, safety argument because less people bought tickets? I think that probably played out a little bit.
Yeah, I thought they slid nicely into this place. As soon as you walk in, this USC Forum or whatever it's called, the USC Pavilion.
Pavilion, yeah.
When you walk in, the basketball court or the main stage is down. So when you walk in, you're already on the mezzanine level.
Yeah.
So when you walk in, it just feels like it felt like FOBAP as soon as I walked in. Like, and if, you know, I thought it was a really nice layout, and they took advantage of the entire stadium with regards to, like, you know, all the signage and all the digital aspects of a stadium. So, you know, it was almost like you were at a UIC, like you were at a basketball game, but it was a FOBAP themed
thing. And being at the stadium, which had seats, has always been awful feature of FOBAP, that there's really nowhere to sit down because you have like five barrel-aged beers. You're like, I just need a break. And so people end up sitting on the corner or on the floor, against the wall, lobbies.
You feel invincible because, you know, you're all hopped up off these stouts. So you go outside and then you stay a little too long because you don't understand how cold it is because you've been lathered up off fucking barrel-aged beers. Yeah, it's a weird dynamic. Or you hang out way too much in the volunteer. We've done this before. Hang out way too much where the volunteers are.
Right.
And then they're like, well, you're not a volunteer. Stop eating our pizza. Get the fuck out of here.
That's happened, yeah.
But it's just weird. Yeah, it's weird that there's no seats. So this was a welcome addition.
So there was lots of people sitting down. We were there on Saturday afternoon. Lots of people just took advantage of the seats because standing kind of sucks after a while. And if it's crowded, you're just like, go grab one, come back. And you kind of get like a home base going.
I saw Brad, and the first thing he did was say, hey, you got to try this vanilla. No, not vanilla benthic, but it was a
nitro benthic.
Nitro extra double benthic. And then, you know, we ran into a few folks. We made the rounds. And before we really got into like our true, you know, fallback experience, we grabbed a seat.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking down and we see fucking Carl from Twisted Hippo.
Yeah.
You know, we whistle at him.
I think he was in charge of dump buckets.
And then we fucking just hung out and just took advantage of the seating. I don't know. I mean, this is the old man beer podcast, so I guess an extended rant about fucking seats at a fest is kind of, you know.
The first thing, when I walked in there, I got there before you. Had a couple people, and then the Goose Island inside booth happened to be like right there as I was walking in, and some people were like asking where you were. And since they were directly talking to me, I was like, I guess I'll come over here and see what you have, like sort of reluctantly. And they had, I think I got last year's prop, which was pretty sweet.
Spumoni was last year's prop.
Yeah, and it definitely, people don't like that one as much, but it wasn't a bad way to just start off the day.
And like, then if the flavors probably fell back too, right? Like,
yeah.
It's kind of mellow.
But it was like a big, sweet beer. It was like, okay, I'm ready. I'm here. I know what I'm here for.
Yeah.
So that was like the first thing I ended up getting, which is really funny. Just walking to FOBAP and be like, oh, Goose Island.
Surprise, surprise.
And then I had gotten that nitro and wandered around a bit more.
That was up there as far as memorable pours.
Yeah.
The nitro extra double was very nice. Yeah. There was a list of beers from the Friday session that kicked first. So there was a list floating around in one of these emails.
Okay.
Should we talk about the list of beers that kicked Friday night?
Sure.
The first, there was 8 beers that kicked Friday night.
Did we have any of them?
We did. We had Nitro. We had Nitro Benthic. Sorry.
I don't think Barrel Age Christmas Ale from Great Lakes kicked because that was a stinker.
All right, here we go. Friday night, Lodestar from Three Floyds. Revolution VSOJ. I didn't have VSOJ that night.
No, but we've had.
Yeah. So well, not, we didn't have it that night. Cerebral, Here Be Monsters. I feel like we had that
one. We did have that one.
Yeah, that was in bottles.
And people recommended it.
Yeah.
It was good, but it wasn't like, it wasn't benthic.
It was not benthic. Something from
New Image?
Yeah, called Noema. So that was all on the main floor. And then upstairs, Cerebral again with Mysterious Forces.
But Cerebral here for the Monsters, we had in bottles upstairs.
Yeah, so I wonder how that worked out. They switched.
So two Cerebral beers kicked.
Yeah, Workforce, DBA, Sleepy Bear, that won an award, and Phase 3's Minutiae.
Well, I didn't have the Sleepy Bear. I didn't even see Workforce.
So I didn't have any. I didn't have any of these beers except for the one Cerebral and the fucking and the Benthic.
So we did have a couple of hits.
We did.
We didn't just drink cider and goose all day.
Shout out to Alex Lovingood. We ran into him.
Yeah.
Right. And we were saying like one of the first on location. Beer Pass episodes was at Temperance, and he was working at Temperance at the time. So he pointed us to a crew that he's working with now in Des Moines, Iowa, I think.
Right.
And they were called, Lau?
Yeah, that sounds right. Lau? Yeah.
Yeah, so they had 2 beers on. And I think I like that because I was like part of like, you know.
We got info about it.
You know what I mean? Like in the past, he was with the guild, and he would point. You know, he takes a little walkie-talkie, point to you in the shoulder and be like, you need to go get this and this and this. And that's kind of code for, you need to get those because once they announce the awards, you won't see them.
Yeah.
Right? It's code for that. So, but we didn't really get that experience this year.
And so having someone tell you that is sort of, I think we've said this before, is one of the bad parts about FOBAB is you get no info on these beers. And so they mean even less when you have them. It's like, cool. That was a cherry, vanilla, cocoa stout. Cool, next.
And to your point, man, you know, there was no, what do you call it? There's no program this year. And the program, usually you can get all the deets on these beers. And when you go to the booth, you get the, you know, brewery, name of the beer, and then the city they're from.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, to your point, you're trying all these cool beers, and you really have no clue what they are.
Right.
You know the category they're in, but... You know, you don't know what they are. So then, like you said, it's like a lot of this stuff kind of becomes a blur.
And that's what I would come back to, like, beer fests are a little bit of trying new things, but also having things that you can get again. And I think that's one reason why I like this crisp apple cider or hard seltzer, because I knew I could get it again. I can't get Nitro Benthic. I could have gotten regular Benthic. I can't get Nitro Benthic. That's not even... And then Goose Island stuff, we ended up going outside. Mm-hmm. And we had their stuff because we already had it. We knew what it tasted like. We knew what we were getting into. And we knew we could get it again if we liked it.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the hourly thing, you know, where it's come out next hour for these two. And you want these two, come back in 3 hours. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. And the same train car that's at Sox Park, they had that train car. They had it outside.
Okay.
And then
someone tagged it up.
Yeah, we saw Kevin Carey, and you know, we're like, Kevin, remember when the mayor came and we all had to wait like an extra fucking hour for the awards? And he's like, yeah, we're never doing that shit again. Oh, he's like, well, they you know, they took some acetone and got all the tags off, but somebody tagged 312 on there,
and they left that.
So they left the 312. That was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Best in Show, man.
All right.
There's a crew who's only been around for 4 years from North Carolina called Resident Culture. Okay. And Resident Culture took Best in Show for a beer called Sympathetic. It was a golden wild ale. So a wild ale that spent 9 months in neutral wine barrels. So this was from the wild beer mixed culture category.
Okay.
Yeah. So they took Best in Show. And apparently this is a 4th straight year where a non-stout took Best in Show. And that's what we talk about, right? Like, you know, the first thing you think about is barrel-aged beers. You think about big stouts, right? you know, FOBAP, obviously there's other mm-hmm. categories, but the stouts are kind of like, what's the word? There's a homogeny, yeah. right? Or, you know, where they're all kind of like, no one's really standing out with these stouts to the point where it's like, okay, this is the best beer I've had all day.
Right, and that's things like Nitro or I remember one year Goose was doing like what they were coffee infusing through the like
oh the Randall?
Randall, like things like that stand out because it's a little different than all right, here's five raspberry ones.
Yeah, different and okay. then different and then big memorable flavors too, right? right? Yeah, so they took Best in Show. Best in Show runner-up was Revolution for VSOJ.
Yeah.
So that was Revolution's 15th all-time medal.
And that was the same – was it the same weekend that they were – no, last weekend. It was a weekend later that they had their release. So.
Yeah. You know, this Revolution run, man, it's – and tell me if we're going on a rant here, but Revolution's fifth all-time now. And medals.
Whoa.
At FOBAP, because they're on a run the last 10 years where they won 15 medals.
So what's Goose? who else is up there?
Yeah, well, number one is Rock Bottom.
Okay. Short Fuse, number two.
You know, Short Fuse is climbing the charts, but they are not in the top five just yet. God damn it, Brad. Hey, you know, number two all time is Goose Island.
Okay.
Number three,
they have two. They had the two locations.
They did. They had two totally different programs. Yeah. Number three all time, Flossmoor Station.
Oh, that's right. I don't think they were there this year.
I don't think so either. What are they doing? They don't have a caboose anymore. What are they doing?
They're like reheating frozen food there.
They're like, fuck it. This is basically Chuck E. Cheese now.
Yeah.
Bring your family. And there happens to be beer here.
Mm-hmm. With our 500-page menu. How do you, take out your iPad to read this menu because it's not fitting on your phone.
It's the only place in around town where I go and I ask for a sampler, and they give me every single beer they have. So I got this tray of like 11 beers now.
So you probably get the appetizer sampler and the beer sampler.
And you're good. That's it. Let's get the fuck out of here. You know. So they're number three. Lost Abbey's number four with 16. And oh. then, so Revolution's only one medal behind Lost Abbey for fourth all time.
But Lost Abbey won this year.
No, Rev. Rev, won.
Rev or Lost Abbey won a medal this year.
They won a medal last year.
Oh, last year. Okay.
Yeah.
So then let's run down the medals. What do we got?
All right. Let's see. Where do we start?
There was two less categories this year.
Yeah, I think they folded the classic styles.
No one wanted them.
They folded that into other strong and other pale.
Right.
So, and then got rid of classic. So instead of nine, I think there was eight.
I'm sure it was getting skipped over, not to like disrespect like Metro or some of those other people that were just kind of, hey, here's the Helles in a barrel.
Yeah, we put it in a gin barrel.
Yeah.
Tequila barrel. Light beer, tequila barrel, whatever.
I often enjoy those, but that's not what people wanted at those fests.
I mean, I guess there's some overlap if you talk other, by the way, is a funny name for any category.
Yeah.
There's other strong, other pale, and then there's classic. So they're like, well, there's too much overlap here, so fuck it, get rid of classic.
Okay.
So there's eight categories instead of nine.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about the wild beer since they produced the Best in Show. Resident Culture from North Carolina with the gold, Hopewell with the silver.
Nice.
And a crew called Barami Brewing.
Barami.
Yeah. Where the fuck are they?
For the next episode, when I picked up this seltzer, I grabbed some Hopewell. They got a winter lager. And so okay. I'm wondering if it's going to be like a nighttime Kölsch.
Evening Kölsch, huh?
Yeah. So I think we'll have that next week or next episode, yeah.
In the cider Perry Mead category, Misbehaving Mead took the gold. Yeah. 10 City Cider with Earl Simmons took the silver. And Angry Orchard took still.
I didn't even see where the ciders were.
No, and I actually wanted to try Three Floyds Low Star, and I couldn't find that. Even at the end of the night, I went looking for it, and I'm like, I don't know where this is. I give up.
Okay.
I'm going to go get another fucking High Life. Other pale beer. 10 Barrel took the gold. Pollyanna, silver. Black Horizon. Shout out to Black Horizon, man, out in the West Burbs. Yeah. They took the bronze there. Quick note about Pollyanna. Pollyanna and Revolution are the only crews to win every year the last 4 years.
Whoa.
And Pollyanna's doing it with the same beer every year.
Every year?
It's called, it's different variations on this thing called Orenda. So it's like Orenda Volume 2, Volume 3. This one is a brandy barrel-aged Orenda. It's all I got for you is that it's another pale ale. That's all I got.
Okay.
Wild Brett category. Wolf's Ridge Brewing took the gold.
Mm-hmm.
No clue where that is.
I've heard the name. Maybe I heard it at FOBAD.
Lupulin Brewing took the silver. Blackberry Farm took the bronze.
Okay.
Blackberry Farm. That's a cool name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Barley Wine and Wheat Wine category. We talked about VSOJ. Rev took the gold. Verboten Brewing took the silver. And Milwaukee Brewing Company, Hello, took the third, took the bronze.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Strong Specialty Porter or Stout. Workforce took the gold. Brad's favorite brewery in the region right now, I couldn't even get it out. Short Fuse Brewing took the silver, and Cerebral took the bronze.
So yeah, Cerebral. The Short Fuse thing, I ran into somebody over the weekend, and it was a general, it was a conversation of how does Short Fuse win awards? There are, they're like, I have a friend who's a beer person, and he's like, I've gone there and tried every beer, and they are not good. I've gone there. I never thought they weren't good, but I never bought anything to take away. Like, I've never been like, I need some more to go.
No Lucy, no Lucy Goosey, Lucy Juicy for you.
No.
Okay.
So it's a general question of how, what are they doing that they win GABF, they win at FOBAB, they have these beers that win awards, but the other beers aren't up to those standards.
It's like, I was going to say, it's like the NCAA tournament where any team that's hot at the moment can win. They're having really good days. When it's time to turn in beer for tournaments, they're having a really good fucking day that day. You know? I don't know how to explain it. I will say this. I mean, Brian, I think his name's Brian LeGros. He used to brew Goose. Short Fuse is closer to where he lives, so he moved and made a move to Short Fuse. I went to Short Fuse, and my biggest takeaway was that they have a ton of space, and this is, you know, if you're near the airport, you know, there's a nice little 1-2 step between Short Fuse and Microphone that you could do and then get on your plane, you know. So I don't really remember much about their beers, but to your point, I mean, I didn't think they were I was indifferent on their beers, and that is not what the awards are reflecting. The awards say that these are.
But I don't even remember what beer they won at GABF. I'm sure if you went there, they're gonna have it up on their board or something. But the beers that win aren't the beers that are on the menu. That's kind of what I'm alluding to. Like how. Is someone else making these beers? Like, what is happening here?
The flagship beers, the flagship offerings in cans are probably different from what they're winning awards for.
Right. And sure, yeah. Like, Alarmist, like, Le Juice became a flagship beer. Before that, like, Pantsless was sort of their, like, go-to one. But because Le Juice won, that became their go-to beer. So Short Fuse, if your beers are winning, why aren't those the beers you're pushing?
Why is there such a gap between the beers that win and the flagship beers that we see at all these stores?
Right.
Why is there such a gap? That's a fair question.
Yeah.
You know. Let's go. Moving on. Fruit beer category. Gold, Cruz Blanca. Silver, Will County Brewing. Bronze, Alter Brewing. Downers Grove, Illinois. Hey, actually, cheers to Cruz Blanca, too. I picked them a few times. And because everyone knew that at some point they're going to win because their beers are really good.
Will County Brewing. Just come up with a name. Just pick a name.
They're Will County Brewing.
Like the whole county. Like you couldn't like. At least like towns have like, Ravinia or you know. There's no Chicago. I'm surprised no one.
Feel better if they picked the township in the county?
Yeah, like Ravinia, but when you're Will County, that's just like, I'm United States Brewery.
Yeah, that's true. All right, specialty and experimental category. Iowa Brewing, Gold, Sun King, Silver, Taxman, Bronze.
See, Iowa Brewing, I think that's sort of the Will County thing, but I feel less, I think I have less, like, upsetness about, yeah. I'm less upset about that.
Yeah, you think of the county, you think of, like, courthouses and, you know, prisons and, you know, state lines and, yeah, unincorporated sections of the county.
Also,
you think about those things.
Also, because people don't often directly be like, hey, where do you live? I live in Will County. I live in DuPage County. It's like, no one says that. That's not how people talk. So why?
Yeah, so why is a brewery named that? That's a fact. Wild beer mixed culture with fruit. Whiskey Hill Gold. Noon Whistle Silver. Penrose with the bronze.
Oh, that's a nice little trifecta there.
Shout out to Tom Quarter. I saw him in the Brewers Lounge.
And, nice. Okay. So. All right. And then we already mentioned the best in show and the runner up. That was Phobat. Were we missing anything that went down there?
I don't think so. Oh, we talked about Rabbit Brewing down in Homewood.
Okay.
So at the end, they started singing the Star Spangled Banner, and it was clearly somebody on the microphone. So instead of telling you to go home, they turned the lights on all the way up, and they started singing Star Spangled Banner. And, you know, I'm standing next to Jana. I'm like, Jana, where the hell is that coming from? So she's standing next to me. We're pointing to the booth where they're singing it, and they're like, Rabbit Brewing's up there. And one of them, on their bucket list was to sing Star Spangled Banner at an arena. So that's what she's doing.
Okay.
So that's how the event ended.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool, man. A lot of space, a lot of people. I think there was a lot more energy in the air because we hadn't done this shit in a while.
Right. That was your first beer fest.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a good hang, man. So, cheers to the guild.
It was a little more excitement there than at Bug, where I felt like, although it was outside, it was sort of, I don't know, it wasn't as, like, exciting that this event was happening. It was more like, cool, we're at an event.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt.
Okay.
And this was like, yeah, this is a good one. We're here for this. And Bug was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, there was less of the "Are you sure we should be here?" thing. It was more like I'm happy to see you fuckers thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right on.
Oh yeah. And then after Phobab, I made my way to Peace, had a few beers there. Yeah. Keep that train going.
How do you feel about the beers at Peace, Brad?
I'm learning to love them now.
Okay.
So I'm learning to accept them. Maybe that's the best one.
Well, that's very nice.
But I've gone to Peace way too many times. Like, it was like a friend's birthday party, and someone was like, oh, I've only gone to two restaurants since kind of the pandemic. Like, only gone out to eat a couple times. Like, I had a fucking Peace like four times. Out of all, like, I haven't gone to a lot of places, but I've gone to Peace four times.
Yeah, I'm comfortable at a restaurant.
But I'm burnt out.
On Peace?
Yeah.
Yeah? I haven't been in a while, man.
It's usually like maybe like twice a year. I got to go around for Festivus, which I don't think they'll do this year. We'll see. And then I usually go, I don't know, sometime in the summer for something. But four times in like, I don't know, 6 months, that's a lot of Peace.
You pre-order? Like, or you get your own? Do you make your own pizza, or do you get the ones that are on the menu already?
Make our own, usually. This was a party, so they were ordering pizzas.
Okay. Yeah. My favorite Peace memory is probably, they did like a, who's the radio station? WBEZ? They did a Prince party at Navy Pier for Prince's birthday, and it was all-you-can-eat Peace pizza.
Okay.
I'm like, I didn't know Peace delivered to fucking Navy Pier.
No, it's not when you did live band karaoke.
I did live band karaoke like a fucking idiot, and did like a Cream song and drank like way too many barrel aged moose knuckles, and the next morning was some I'll never drink again shit, because you know you needed that courage to get up there.
Sure.
So I was like, bring them on. And that was very bad idea. So that was my second favorite piece. Oh man.
Damn. So I went to Peace. You hit up anything else?
Yeah, man. Shout out to Phase 3. They had
Again.
their you know, lulls on the table. On one of the stops was P3. Beautiful Lake Zurich, Illinois, in a, you know, in an industrial park.
Okay.
You know, for Minutiae. So Minutiae release party. So they're known for, you know, big adjunct. You know, Pastry Town was this weekend. I mean, sorry, Pastry Town was the same weekend as FOBAB, so a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
So Pastry Town's in New York. It's Other Half's brewer festival, and it's like a wrestling match and shit. But it's a wrestling match and a beer fest.
Huh. Okay.
But it's all fruited sours and pastry beers.
Okay. So I kinda like the idea that there's two things happening.
I mean, it's called Pastry Town.
Yeah.
You know. I brought it up because only three crews from Illinois were at both FOBAB and Pastry Town on the same day. Microphone, Three Floyds, and Phase Three.
Yeah, these are the pastiest breweries.
These are the pastiest of the pastry breweries. Yeah, so they had this event where they have a barrel-aged beer that's just stripped down, no adjuncts, called Minutiae. So I went up there for that.
Nice.
And then while you're there, you can try 9 different versions of these recipes they're playing around with. They call them the What Could Bees.
Okay.
Right. And then there's like a collaboration with a meadery on.
So they're sort of like testing them on the...
Right, it's kind of like you know,
just focus groupy.
Yeah, a little bit, right? 1 through 9, and you know, they don't really have names; they just list the adjuncts. So, there was one that was out of fucking control. It was coconut and peanut butter, barrel aged out with coconut and peanut butter.
Oh, okay.
Raw and toasted coconut and peanut butter, and you know, I'm like, you know, there's no like candy to kind of set the tone for this combination. Like, I would never do coconut and peanut butter in my personal life on anything, really.
You wouldn't like melt up Rice Krispie treats in a Mounds bar together.
Right, like I wouldn't do that. But then you have this beer and these flavors just explode. It was like really one of the craziest beers I've had all year. It was really good, and it was so much better than everything I had that day. You know, like everything else was just kind of just your straight up dessert forward stouts.
Okay.
But this one was special. You know, it had a lot of moves.
Nice.
Man. And then get a bottle of the barrel aged beer to go.
So how far is the Phase Three Lake Zurich from like Moore, which is very close to the expressway there?
That's a good question. From where we are, northwest side of the city, you're talking about 30 miles.
Okay.
So it's like a clean 50-minute trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take 94 all the way up, and you get off at Half Day Road, which is you know, Route 22.
Yeah.
And then basically as soon as you hit Lake County, you get off a Half Day Road, and then you go back west. You go west for like 10 miles.
Okay. Cause
and then you're in Lake Zurich.
Moore is all the way like at basically Randall Road. So it's farther on 94.
So 90, because 90 is the highway. Yeah. 90 is the highway that goes northwest, and then 94 goes straight north to Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah. This was a bad idea, taking 94, getting off at 94 and going through these towns. Some of them are fine, but then there's like a 5 of the 10 miles is like all dark roads. You know, I'm expecting like a deer to jump out. You know, I'm expecting, if it's raining, I'm expecting to be stuck under a fucking viaduct because it's flooding. It was a very, very, very off-road situation.
Damn, okay.
So just be wary of that. But once you get there,
it's nice.
90s hip hop and crazy fucking stouts, okay. And take your bottle. And you got 2 hours. So get a small amount of people in here. Actually, it wasn't small, it was a whole bunch of motherfuckers.
You got 2 hours you could stay in there?
Yeah, it was a 2-hour fest.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like
2-hour fest where you could have 9 different versions of this beer, 2 of their collaborations, and then you could have 2 guest stouts. So one of the guest stouts was the Here Be Monster, Be Here Monsters from Cerebral. And the other was Bourbon County Stout Midnight Orange was the other guest.
All right.
It was a good hang.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the flow of getting to all the food and the samples was all very chill.
Nice. So. Okay. I don't know, sounds like, that was a good little week and a half for us there. All right, anything else happening? Anything we need to mention coming up? I don't even know.
I think that's it, man. Marshmallow Hand is pouring good, man.
Yeah, is it warmed up? Warmed up a little bit? Let me go back to it. Get a little more. I know we have We should have Claire's coming out soon.
Yeah. Benthic released. And so did Barrel Aged Cuppa.
Ooh. It gets a little more roasty.
Yeah.
Like I'm getting a little more almost raspberry tart coffee roast kind of thing.
Okay.
But that's too much apple. Maybe the apple is like
affecting your damn. Angie experience. You know, I was thinking about all these crazy releases in the last 4 weeks, and I'm like, but you know what? This is it. Like you said, it's holiday week, and there's a sprint in November of like crazy back-to-back parties, and then it all kind of fades out. Like everyone's in holiday mode after this.
Yeah, but we're going to have Big Hugs release. We'll have another Deep Woods release here in like a week, basically.
So maybe I spoke too soon.
Yeah. And then it is Black Friday. We are recording this. It is Black Friday Goose Island release week.
Yeah. If I see that Blanton's, I'd probably grab. This shit's like $50 a bottle, Brad.
That seems affordable for what it is. I feel like it's going to go for like $250.
You know, it's funny, and I'm glad you brought this up. Like, when you look at the packaging for Benthic stuff and for the Maplewood stuff, They both use Blanton's barrels. And then even in you know, you talk to the Rev guys, you know, they use Blanton's in Thunder Taker last year.
Huh.
So it's just funny that, you know, the only crew that really wants you to pay $50 a bottle for Blanton's is fucking Goose. It's kind of funny. And you know, but they got the partnership where they got the cool box.
Well, you're paying for the box and the bag. That's, you know, at least $10-$20.
Yeah, that's definitely.
And then the bottle, that bottle is more expensive than the Rev cans. So packaging alone is half of that. So
yeah, it's interesting the number of Blanton's barrels going around.
Interesting. I do feel like that Goose one, if you are picking it up, it probably goes for like $200-$250.
Oh, like on secondary?
Yeah.
It's possible. Shit, that Minutiae is already at 150, which is kind of weird because it's just a barrel aged stout.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's weird what catches fire on secondary. So yeah,
there's Blanton's people. Like, I have a friend who just is like,
he's like, "Bring, give me the fucking Blanton's."
He's like, that's obsessed true. With any Blanton. He'll go to stores and be like, when "Oh, you, do you have Blanton's?" Yeah. He's like, "They'll have every other whiskey." Like, "Yeah, we do. It's this price." And he's like, "That's too much. I'm not getting that." And they leave.
When you frame it like that. Yeah, the Blanton's enthusiasts are going to have this bottle. That was probably going to weigh the heaviest. And now I'm curious to see, because I think that's going to weigh the heaviest on the secondary.
Yeah.
Is the Blanton's one. Yeah.
But, yeah, so this is Goose Island's Black Friday release. I bet there's something happening at the pub. They usually do releases or stuff, tastings.
Anything from their vault that you would want to try if it's on?
I saw
like a 4-year-old Eagle Rare. Our guy, Nick Conti, posted that he was at the pub and he had a 4-year-old BCS, aged 4 years, in Eagle Red barrels.
I did hear Matilda is fixed. Like, it was bad, and now it's good again.
It was broke.
Yeah, they fixed Matilda.
You know, one of the best beers I've had from Goose was the accidental sour Matilda. They called her Dominique.
Mm. Oh, yeah, Dominique. Yeah.
That was I would like to try that if that's around.
From the archive. I wouldn't mind having like Night Stalker again.
Night Stalker. This brings up, and I don't know if we're rambling, but Night Stalker is at the was Night Stalker or Big John the supposed to be dry hopped non barrel aged BCS?
I think it was Night Stalker.
I think so
but
too.
But it wasn't.
Right.
That's what everyone said it was.
Exactly. So So, you know, we were hanging out getting the English BCS, whatever that was called, English Whiskey BCS, Suffolk County.
Mm-hmm.
And we're asking them about, you know, if I'm a bird, you're a bird, which is a stout from them, no non-barrel-aged, collab with Phase 3. I'm like, this is BCS non-barrel-aged. No, it's a different recipe. I'm like, all right, that's fine. Oh, but then you go to P3, and we talk about, they have a members-only barrel-aged stout called Unoya.
Okay.
And then they have Curvature, which is a non-barrel-aged adjunct stout.
Yeah.
And then they have this one coming out called Minutiae, right? So I'm like, so what's the deal? Minutiae is just barrel-aged curvature? He's like, no, it's a different recipe. I'm like, okay, so that means that Unoya and
is the non-adjunct version of Minutiae. No. There's three styles, three different recipes, slightly different on all three. That's the official language coming out of Phase
2. 2 ounces instead of 2.2 ounces of whatever.
I wonder how different they are. Because, you know, on the bourbon side, like we'll talk about Blanton's, for example. Blanton's is the same recipe as, you know, Elmer T. Lee, E.H. Taylor, Blanton's, mash bill too, the high rye mash bill. Like, and most whiskey folks that do that, they usually only have two recipes. And, you know, they just run it, put it in different spots in the warehouse so the flavor changes.
Yeah.
But it's the exact same recipe. But they're very upfront about that. And I'm not saying Phase 3 is not upfront. I just find it interesting that these are actually all different recipes. That's cool.
You know? Yeah. How different are they? Like, Phase 3 also, like, we did this with Chris Jamerson on a Beer Pass After Dark.
Oh.
A lineup of hazy ones. And it's like...
Hot Butcher. Hot Butcher. Right? We did a full 12.
But we did... Who did we do Phase 3 with? Maybe it was just us.
Oh, that was the first one.
These are the same. You just use Centennial instead of Simcoe instead of whatever New Zealand hop. You just these are the same. Like, don't.
They're slightly different, Brad.
Yeah.
No, not too invested either way. Just interesting that that's the, you know, that's the language. So yeah. I'll roll with that. We didn't ask the brewmaster that.
Yeah.
We just asked the folks that were cashing us out or pouring the beers at, and that was their story.
So. But Night Stalker would be one I would, I don't know if I wouldn't want to try, like, an old Night Stalker sitting around. I want to have Night Stalker again and be like, I don't even think I remember it. Like,
right.
Is there anything here that's, like, interesting?
Yeah. That would be a good reason to get to Goose on a Black Friday if they're getting in the vault. You know, you talk about Goose and Rev, they can go into the vault and find some cool shit that, you know, that would really pique my interest.
Yeah. But I will probably make it over to Beguile this week. I was talking to Kevin. I thought their Christmas ale comes out this week, but he's like, oh, it's been out for like months already because the grocery stores want it. I was like, oh, well, I usually get it like around Thanksgiving time.
It was out mid October.
Yeah. So I'll probably make it to Beguile for the first time since our first time this year, and probably so I didn't even maybe go last year.
I think last time I went to Beguile was with you. Okay. We were there for probably
because he said they did get Kevin when we ran into him. They just did their Imperial Pajamas release. He said, I was like, oh, over our head. And we talk about events. He's like, yeah, we kept it really low key and it was kind of small, less variants this year.
Yeah, that's what we went for. I did, like, they used Sagamore rye barrels in one of those, in all of them, I think, Pajamas. So I enjoyed that.
Maybe I'll have a Christmas beer in Imperial Pajamas because I have a gift card too because I bought it, like, beginning of the pandemic, like, I don't want breweries to shut down, like, buy their beer, and Beguile didn't ship, so I was like, all right, I'll buy your gift card, and so now.
So it's acceptable to use gift cards, I would say, right?
I think so, right? Why?
Yeah.
Why not?
I'm asking, I don't know. Like, how long are we supposed to keep them? Because I got a couple of gift cards, I'm like, I don't know when I'm supposed to check.
I'm using them, like, oh my god.
He's like, this is happening, you're going to have to tell me
I bought this to use, I didn't, like, just give you money. But it'll be nice to be back in there because the only time I went was when we picked up some beer and we drank it on the show.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right on.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode then. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Instagram, Facebook, website chicagobeerpass.com. Everything gets posted there. And we will be back with another episode soon. Take care.
Cheers.